Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy... Oh, what day is it? Tuesday.
It is Tuesday,
Let me start that over.
Okay. I forgot what day of the week it was. It is a Tuesday.
All right, here we go. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Tuesday afternoon. What a crazy weekend in college football, huh, Dirt?
It was. I mean, you got four top 10 teams that go down, and we went into the week with no top 25 matchups, and then chaos ensues.
Well, that's what college football is all about, and that's why we're going to bring on our friend, the college football guru, ESPN, PhilSteele.com. Phil Steele, he is joining us now. He joins us every Tuesday for the 12:30 segment to talk about the chaotic weekend that was. Phil, good to have you back on, man. What does Phil Steele make of four top 10 teams falling in one weekend?
Yeah, you know, you could see earlier in the year when there were so many top 10 versus, rank versus rank matchups. I don't think anybody saw it coming this weekend. And, you know, I have a team like Clemson, which was thought to be, it's almost a lock that it's going to be Clemson and Alabama in the championship game. They have two undefeated teams in the Pac-12 go down. I think they really hurt the conference. Just one of those weekends. You sort of had a feeling coming in some funny stuff could happen in the weekend, but I don't think anybody foresaw four top 10 teams going down.
Yeah, you get a Friday the 13th mixed in there. You know wild stuff's going to happen, right? Well, and I want to focus on, because we talked a lot yesterday, Phil, about these Pac-12 teams that lost and Washington State and Washington and differing opinions from people, but just curious where you think both programs are at right now, and if that loss this past weekend is kind of enough to end the college football playoff conversation for them.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, the funny thing with college football, I say it all the time. I wrote an article from the magazine, I think it was 8-10 years ago. It's called Snapshot. And what you think is absolutely clear today in college football, generally 3 weeks from now, you're like, well, that didn't make any sense at all. And I think to completely write the Pac-12 off is ridiculous because, you know, let's go to the Big 12, for example. They've got Oklahoma with one loss, Oklahoma State with one loss, and TCU with zero losses. Well, they're all playing each other upcoming. What happens if two of them have two losses and you've got a one-loss champ and the whole conference gets thrown into a topsy-turvy? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of tough games in the Big 12 coming up. And if a Pac-12 team gets through with one loss, let's say it's a Washington, a USC, which would be my two favorites to get into the playoffs possibly, or even a Washington State because they would have to beat both Washington and USC again. I think that they would still be alive. So I'm not throwing out the Pac-12 whatsoever. And I think as the weeks go on, as long as Washington State and USC continue to win, then I think the Pac-12 strength conference strength will show.
Yeah, we're joined by Phil Steele, PhilSteele.com. He's on Twitter, at PhilSteele042, and you can catch him all over ESPN as the Strongest Steele podcast. Sticking in the Pac-12, which Pac-12 team has surprised you the most this year?
One of them I'd have to say would be Arizona. And Arizona, since they've inserted Khalil Tate at the quarterback spot, he's been unstoppable, running through Colorado and UCLA the last 2 weeks. And you have to think they're a threat to almost anybody they play as long as he's continuing to play at that level. And even look at their two losses this year. The Houston game they lost earlier this season was a 3-point game. The Utah game, they actually had a 107-yard edge in the game and ended up losing by 6. So I think as far as surprise out of the blue, it would have to be Arizona. I think everybody pretty much expected them to finish last in their division. And then the surprise in the negative side would be UCLA. And I'm going to hone in on two particular aspects of UCLA. The first would be their run defense. When I talked to Coach Mora this spring and went over his team with them, he was extremely high on the defensive line. These guys are giving up 6.6 yards per carry, 313 yards per game rushing. That's not good. And then the other side would be on the offensive side, Josh Rosen, 17 touchdowns. That's a pretty good stat. How about 17 interceptions? He could set a record here.
Wow.
If he keeps throwing interceptions the way he is. Coming into the season, I would have expected UCLA to have a much better run defense And I would expect that Josh Rosen to act more like a quarterback that's been there 3 years, and in his previous 2 years combined had thrown 16 interceptions. Now he's got 17 already this year.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up UCLA there, because they're playing Oregon this weekend, and you know, we've seen Oregon now for 2 weeks without Justin Herbert. The offense is not clicking. They can't throw the football, but they're still running the ball effectively, and UCLA coming off that loss is to a team you mentioned as well, in Arizona. How do you see that one playing out? I mean, is UCLA's run defense bad enough to keep Oregon in this game?
Well, you would think it would, especially the way Royce Freeman's running the football this year. I mean, he's averaging 6 yards a carry, a guy that's completely under the radar, probably because he came up a few yards short of 1,000 last year, so nobody's really talked about him. I personally, if you remember the conversation a couple of weeks ago, I thought Braxton Burmeister would come in and do a good job at quarterback, and the 1-4 ratio hasn't worked out, and the offense scoring just 17 points the last 2 weeks, so I'm sort of scratching my head there as well in the fact that their offense has dropped off as much as it has going to the backup quarterbacks. But that's one of those games, guys, where I'd almost like to go against both teams at this point, because they both have been disappointing me the last couple of weeks. So I'll say the home team grabs the win, but yes, I do think Oregon can run the football on UCLA, and it should be an entertaining game.
Yeah, Phil Steele, at PhilSteele042, and PhilSteele.com is where you can find his website. How do the Power 5 conferences stack up for you personally from best to worst?
You know, you got all the teams in the Big Ten at the top, you know, in the top 10 of the rankings, with Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan not far behind. I know a lot of folks like the Big Ten, but they do get the benefit of playing teams like Rutgers and Illinois and, you know, teams like that at the bottom of the Big 12 on a weekly basis. Maryland lost their quarterback, and they've been a shadow of themselves. When you look at the Big 12, there's a lot of depth there. You go down to the 8th and 9th teams like Texas Tech and Iowa State. They're playing pretty good. So I think there's good depth, but I don't know if there's that dominant team. Oklahoma, if they recapture their form, could potentially get there. The ACC, you were looking at Clemson and NC State, but other than that, a lot of mediocrity there. And the SEC, I still would put at this point number one, and I think it goes down to the bottom of the conference. You look at your teams like Vanderbilt and Kentucky, Mississippi and Mississippi State, the weakest teams in the SEC. Those are all bowl-caliber teams, and that's why you're seeing some get knocked off. And I think they might have benefited from the fact that LSU has come back a little bit. They've got Auburn, Georgia, Alabama. I think the SEC is probably right now a slim number one, but it's pretty close across the country.
You know, we've had a lot of fun the last 48 hours or so trying to make sense of who the four best teams in the country are, because you got some teams that are undefeated, but they don't necessarily have quality wins. Wisconsin, Penn State come to mind. And then a team like Clemson, who is, you know, beating up on everybody. Bryant goes down, they lose. So if I were to ask you right now, a week ahead, I believe a week from tonight is when the first college football playoff rankings will come out. Who are your top four teams in the country?
Well, now, this is interesting that you bring that up, because I've got two different places where I vote. One, I vote in the Football Writers Super 16 poll, and that one takes into account where I actually think the team should be ranked based on, you know, wins and losses, how they've done this season. So naturally in that poll, I'm going to have teams that have a one loss down below a team with zero losses. So in that poll, I voted Alabama 1, Penn State 2, Georgia 3, and TCU 4 right now. But then on ESPN.com, on the Insider, I've got my Vegas power ratings. Now this is where I actually think the teams are. In other words, if they lined up, and I get the numbers from the Westgate, FPI, my own sets of power ratings, merge them all together, and I've got this one set of what I call Vegas power ratings. Right now, Alabama, of course, would be favored over everybody else, but I think you'd find it interesting. The number two team in that poll is Ohio State, because Ohio State's just been blowing everybody away, and really, when they host Penn State, they'll be favored. If they were playing Clemson at a neutral field right now with Kelly Bryant's injury, they'd be favored. If they were playing Oklahoma again at a neutral site, I think we've seen enough improvement in Ohio State and enough weakening in Oklahoma where Ohio State would be favored. Number three would be Penn State, and number four would be Clemson. So you've got two different ways of looking at it, but when I'm looking at how the vote's going to come out when it comes out a week from now, it's going to be Alabama, Penn State, Georgia, and TCU, unless they get upset.
Yeah, Phil Steele, ESPN's very own Phil Steele, at PhilSteele042 and PhilSteele.com You brought up the Big Ten, and you rattled off the teams that are doing really well thus far. I'm curious, what do you make of Wisconsin? Because for all the talk that we've had to hear out here on the West Coast about Washington losing and then Washington's strength of schedule and how they've played nobody, Wisconsin hasn't played a team over 500 yet. What do you make of the Badgers?
This is the best team by far that Paul Chryst has put on the field. You go back to his first year, and you know this is a Wisconsin team that every year averages 5.5, 6.2 yards per carry. His first year, 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, I should say, only averaged 3.8 yards per carry rushing, 150 yards per game rushing. I'm like, that's not Wisconsin. Last year they improved to 203 yards per game rushing, 4.3 yards per carry. Once again, atypical numbers for Wisconsin. Well, this year, they're back to that power run game. Jonathan Taylor's emerged. He's averaging 7.8 yards per carry. They're chomping up opponents, as you mentioned, weaker opponents, but 264 yards per game, 5.5 yards per carry. They've got a capable quarterback in Alex Hornibrook, who's hitting 66% with an 11-6 ratio this year. And then defensively, they're actually holding their opponents to 123 yards below their season average, which is number 10 in the country. I think Wisconsin wins out. I think they're a quality team. And I think when they finally do play someone like Michigan the second last week of the season, you'll see them play extremely well in that game. So I'd be worried if I was taking on Wisconsin, because they really are a complete team.
How about that? Well, one other team that has a chance really to throw a wrench into this whole conversation is Notre Dame, as they're sitting there, I think 13th in the AP poll, 5-1. That only loss came, you know, by 1 point to a top four team in Georgia. And they're taking on USC this weekend, a team I think a lot of people are still wondering, who are they? Had to come back and beat Utah on Saturday, and the 2-point conversion failed for the Utes. But when you look at that USC Notre Dame game, what are your thoughts, and who do you like in that matchup?
You know, I actually like the Irish in this one. USC is just so banged up. You look at that injury list that they have, and it just keeps growing by the week. There's probably about 20 guys on her injury list once again this week, and that doesn't help. And now you're going on the road, playing in South Bend. Not sure what the temperatures are going to be, but it's been a little chilly here in the area, so we'll see if there's a chill in the air for that game. And then you look at the way the Irish are running the football. They're averaging over 300 yards per game rush, 6.9 yards per carry. I think they will be able to run on a banged-up USC defense. And their only loss this year was to Georgia. And at the time, you're thinking, well, that's Notre Dame lost at home. But that's a very good Georgia team. They beat Michigan State by 20, have handled a bunch of other weaker opponents that have been underperforming this year. But we're going to learn a lot about both teams. But at this point, I do like Notre Dame to come out of there with the win.
There we go. We'll get you out of here on this one, Phil, as we do every week. We are big degenerates. So do you have a pick, an underdog that you really like this weekend?
I'm going to throw two of them at you.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
First one will be one of those non-marquee games. Utah State is playing UNLV. They're catching about 4.5 in this one. I actually think Utah State's a stronger team. Watch the Utah State-Wyoming game last week. Utah State probably deserved to win that one. They've got the better defense, and I think they're going to go on the road and pull the upset of UNLV. And then the other one is more of a marquee matchup, and it just goes to Tom Herman. Tom Herman, when he was at Houston, was an underdog five times, mostly as a Houston team, a group of five team versus ranked teams, and he pulled five outright upsets. This year, the first time he was an underdog was against USC. USC was much healthier then. And yet USC needed its freshman kicker to kick a field goal at the end of the game just to force overtime and beat them by 3 in overtime. Last week they were catching 9 from Oklahoma and in a neutral site and only lost by 5, and I thought played them even up. This week they're getting 7.5 at home against Oklahoma State. Tom Herman is a perfect 7-0 as an underdog. I'm not going against Tom Herman. I'll take the touchdown and the 7.5 points here with Texas.
Yeah, and Ellinger's proven to be a pretty good quarterback for Texas. There you go, Phil Steele, philsteele.com, ESPN, Strongest Steel Podcast, and on Twitter, at philsteele042, joins us every Tuesday. Good talking with you, Phil. Good stuff, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds great. A lot of fun, as always, guys. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.